Hello, and welcome to the Nottingham Podcast. We're really honored today to be joined by Nate Geraci of the radio program ETF Prime, the first radio program devoted to the ETF industry. I would encourage you to find it and listen to some of their excellent programming. Thank you for being with us, Nate Geraci.
Good morning, Kip. A pleasure to be here.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. Nate, you've really developed a wonderful following with your radio program, ETF Prime. Can you tell us a few fun facts about Nate Geraci your listening audience might not know?
Sure. You know, it may surprise some people to learn that I actually came from outside the investment industry. So I was one of the earliest employees in a technology startup. It was an online transportation brokerage. I spent about 8 years there and helped build out a lot of the financial and operational infrastructure of that company as we grew revenues from less than $1 million annually to over $400 million. And I've got to tell you, it was simply an incredible learning experience, just having a front row seat to be part of a success story like that. But I think that experience certainly has helped in everything we've done, building the ETF store and the radio program. I think more than anything, just bringing a different perspective to the investment space, looking at things from, a bit of a different lens and perhaps someone who has been in the investment industry their entire career, I think that's been a positive. Perhaps another fun fact and more directly related to the radio program, we never actually intended to be on the radio. So when we first started the ETF store, our investment advisory, a radio program was not part of the original business plan. I had no background in radio, never planned on being on radio. But several years ago, I was sitting in a Starbucks here in Kansas City, and the place was packed. I probably had way too much coffee to drink. And I was meeting with someone and discussing how do we grow our investment advisory business. And I kind of looked around and said, I'm just curious how many people in the Starbucks even know what an ETF is, because our firm was branded around ETFs clearly. So I got up and walked around. There were probably 50 people in the Starbucks and just started asking people, hey, have you ever heard of an ETF? Not one person in that Starbucks had ever heard of an ETF. So I said, we have a problem here. Our firm's branded around ETFs. How do we educate people? And so we said, well, why don't we try launching a radio program? And, that's really how the show was born.
That is fascinating. So you come from an entrepreneurial mindset, and obviously that's served you very well. You recently changed the name of your program. Can you give us some background how the program has evolved and how you see your radio program's focus moving forward?
Going back to how we first started the show, we really originally launched it, as I mentioned, to just help educate the local Kansas City market on ETF. So we launched the show in a local talk radio station here in town. And by the way, if you listen to some of our earliest shows, and they are available online, unfortunately, they're simply brutal, absolutely horrible. But, look, even though we very creatively named the show after our investment advisory firm, it was originally launched as the ETF Store Show. We recently changed that to ETF Prime. The show was never intended to be a marketing megaphone for our advisory business. We really just wanted to help educate people. And quite frankly, we never imagined we would develop the following that we have. The show is now downloaded in every state in the country, 125 countries around the world, believe it or not. And so as the show has grown, and given that we really place an emphasis on education, we just thought it was important to pivot away from a name that includes our investment advisory firm. And so now the show will be called ETF Prime moving forward, which we're very excited about. As we move forward, our goal is to be the go-to resource for ETF investors. We want to help educate investors on ETFs. We want to provide weekly access to the top minds in the ETF space. We've had just about every ETF provider on the program, many multiple times. We've also had independent analysts from places like Bloomberg and Morningstar. We're really excited. We have a new weekly segment we'll be debuting next week. We'll have ETF.com joining us. Of course, ETF.com is one of the world's leading independent authorities on ETFs. So they'll join us for a new segment each week to cover sort of the top ETF stories of the week. So we're looking forward to that. But you know, going forward, again, the focus is on ETF education, plain and simple. It's our belief that if we can help educate the broader public on ETF, a rising tide raises all boats. So we're very excited about the name change.
Well, congratulations on building such a following. You really have become a go-to place to get information, and I think people like to learn. One thing I've heard talked about on your program several times is active ETFs, and been a lot of discussion about active ETFs becoming more popular with the investment public and issuers for quite a while, but it always seems to be next year when the industry feels that that's going to take place. Where do you feel like we are in the maturity of the ETF markets as it relates specifically to the active and passive question?
You know, that's an excellent question. I personally think there's a tremendous opportunity for active ETFs. I think one of the reasons they've been slow to catch on is because mutual fund companies have been reluctant to launch their flagship strategies in an ETF wrapper. So I really believe that if, let's say, Fidelity launched the Contra Fund in an ETF, I think there would be $1 billion in that thing overnight. But many companies, they seem afraid of the daily transparency of ETFs. They don't want to give away their secret sauce. Now, I think those fears are overblown personally, but I think until we see more flagship strategies launched, I do think it will be a bit of an uphill struggle for active ETFs. Now, we have seen some traction on the bond side, right, from firms like Double Line and PIMCO, but I do think we need to see more on the equity side. You know, as a whole, I think there's a lot of potential there. I think regardless of what the data shows in terms of active managers tending to underperform the market, I think investors will always look for outperformance. And I do think there's some cyclicality to active manager performance as well. But I think the key is going to be seeing some of the larger mutual funds launch some of their flagship equity strategies in an ETF wrapper.
Those are great points. Might present some opportunities for the smaller advisors to be entrepreneurial where the bigger ones might be reluctant. It'd be interesting to see. Recently, the SEC has said that they were going to make the exemptive application process much more seamless and supposedly quicker. First of all, do you believe that this will translate into a meaningful difference in timing for a new ETF being set up? And second, how do you think that might affect the growth of the ETF industry?
Well, I do think it will help streamline new ETF launches. It will help standardize and speed up the process. I also think it will help just level the playing field, because right now the larger ETF providers, they are operating with a bit of an advantage. So I think this could help new entrants enter the market, right? It'll make it less expensive to bring new ETFs to market. That said, I think in terms of affecting the overall growth of the industry, I think regardless of the filing process, the bottom line is you have to have a good product to bring to market, right? The fact is all of the plain vanilla ETFs are already spoken for. I would say same with many of the quote unquote smart beta or factor-based strategies. So the key to me is finding areas of opportunity to be successful. I think that's a much bigger factor in future ETF growth than the filing process. But certainly making the process of obtaining exemptive relief easier, that will allow more players to enter the market, and perhaps that will help with the innovation and competition in the ETF space. So it's clearly only a positive.
That all makes sense to me. Differentiation in the marketplace, and the more crowded it gets, the harder that'll be. Are there any under the radar issues that you have come across in your program or in talking with any of your guests that you think might affect us the rest of this year and moving into 2019?
You know, I don't know that these are necessarily under the radar issues, but two areas I'm watching with keen interest and topics that we continue to see crop up on the radio program are ESG, or socially responsible ETFs, and then cryptocurrency ETFs. So with ESG, look, there's a lot of debate around whether investors really want socially responsible ETFs. Now, I tend to fall into the camp that I think people who believe companies are doing the wrong things, whether that be environmentally, hiring practices, whatever the case may be, I think those people believe they can have a greater impact by bludgeoning a company on social media or protesting the company's products and services. I just think they feel that they can move the needle a lot quicker and they can have a direct impact by doing those sorts of things. I'm not sure avoiding a 1% allocation to a company in an ETF gives people the feeling that they're making a real difference. All that said, I do think it's going to be fascinating watching the ESG ETF space moving forward. There's certainly a lot of media attention around it. The assets haven't been there yet. And again, I get it. You know, I get why there's a lot of buzz here. I do just wonder whether or not it will really catch on. And so that's something we're certainly watching. As it relates to cryptos, boy, this is just another area that really fascinates me. I've actually spent a lot of time researching and trying to better understand cryptocurrencies. And if you spend any time at all looking at this, it's a tough space to get your head around. But I do think we're going to see some exchange-traded products launch. You know, if I had to put a timeline on it, just speculating, I would think in the next year or so. And I do think the investor demand will absolutely be there. You know, as I think about our investment advisory firm, believe it or not, over the past year, I think we've heard more from clients asking if there's a Bitcoin ETF than just about anything else. You know, despite what you think about cryptocurrencies, the fact is they're not going away, right? We can talk about whether they're in a bubble or about the supply of cryptocurrencies or whatever, but they're not going away. And so I do think we're going to see an exchange-traded product here in the not-too-distant future. And obviously that will be a topic that's going to generate a ton of buzz and media coverage if and when it happens.
I agree with that. We the incoming phone calls we get from advisors that want to set up an ETF, I would bet 30 to 40% of them are talking about either cryptocurrencies or blockchain. So it will be interesting to see what happens, but there's certainly plenty of buzz about it. Now I've got the most important question of the day. I've done a little bit of research on you and found out that you have some connections to Kansas basketball. And I went to Duke, and preseason, you know, they just got over one season. Now they're already talking about next year. It has Duke and Kansas 1-2. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that and where the Final Four is and whether we can meet and have a drink there next year if that happens.
Well, you did some excellent research. I am a diehard KU basketball fan. And I do have to mention that my beloved Jayhawks took out Duke in the Elite Eight this year to go to the Final Four. And it was a somewhat unexpected Final Four trip for Kansas. But, no, look, you have two tradition-rich blue-blood basketball programs. I have followed Kansas for as long as I can remember, loved college basketball. So, I think we'll have to put maybe a wager on that, and hopefully we can meet in the title game next year.
That sounds like a good plan. I was at the title game in 91, which was quite a game, quite a Final Four. They've met quite a few times, and it's always tradition. So, Nate, thank you so much for taking the time with us this morning. And can you tell us where people can find your radio program?
The best place to go is etfprime.com, but you can also download the podcast wherever podcasts are available. So we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, any podcast site, you should be able to find our program.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for taking time. Nate Geraci of the radio program ETF Prime.